From somewhere on the Col de Rat, welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, why cycling has a big problem, but we don't need to worry.
At least not yet. We've also got some really interesting research about safety in numbers, some choice stats from the best race of the year.
According to me.
According to Zai, and a whole load of new tech from fast tyres to e-cargo bikes. This week in the world of cycling, we learned that in the recently released list of the happiest countries in the world, four of the top five are also the countries with the highest rates of cycling.
Coincidence? We think not.
Yep, so it's official, cycling is key to a happy population.
Up to a point, perhaps. And now we also learned this week that there are no compromises to be made with UCI rules. Young Isaac Del Toro won a major race last week, the Milano-Torino, and crossed the line with his top unzipped to the waist.
Which is in direct contravention of UCI rule 2.12.007-8.6, of course.
That's a damage to the image of the sport.
That's the one, yeah, you know, off by heart.
Okay.
That it was because his zip on his skin suit was broken, did not wash with the UCI commissaires, i.e. the referees, so they fined him anyway.
They did. Personally, I actually think his six-pack was quite a good advert.
Wasn't bad, was it?
Yeah, better than me with my top off anyway. Now, making the headlines here in the UK last week was some fairly gloomy sales figures coming from the bike industry. Now, something we have talked a bit about in recent years, haven't we?
Yes, we have. So after the cycling boom of COVID lockdowns, where it was one of about three things that you could still do, so everyone took advantage of the freedom and the reduction of traffic, there's been something of a slump.
Yes, say. To the extent that these aforementioned gloomy sales figures showed that fewer bikes were sold last year than in any year so far this century, and that in fact levels were basically back at where they were in the 1970s.
And even e-bike sales were down, weren't they?
Yeah.
And more so actually than normal bike sales. However, I guess it's hardly surprising given that during COVID, basically everyone bought everything to do with bikes, didn't they? To the extent that someone I know has actually sold a second-hand left-sided Ultegra Di2 lever for about £350 on eBay. And so inevitably, there's been a bit of a correction in pricing.
Yeah, so the issue, though, is that as has been previously reported, a lot of brands forecast for the boom to continue and not the subsequent bust. Mm. And so they were sat on a lot of very expensive stock, which I was reading, Dan, sucks up working capital, leaving many needing external investment, basically, to get them over the hump.
Trek, Specialized and Scott, I think, to name but three. Is it actually a problem for cycling, though?
No. We don't think it is, right? So firstly, what happens in the bike industry doesn't actually affect cycling, does it?
I guess not.
I mean, like, will bike brands still exist?
Yes.
Yes. Will you still be able to replace your chain or buy a new inner tube?
Also, yes.
Yes, exactly.
And actually, for the bike industry too, when you look at overall sales levels over the last few years, it kind of evens out.
I think it does, doesn't it? There is no mass exodus from cycling, at least not yet. So the sales figures don't reflect what's actually happening on the roads and the trails, do they?
Certainly no mass exodus from the USA, that's for sure, because People for Bikes announced the results of their annual participation survey that's now in its 11th year, and have said that more people cycle in 2024 than in any of their previous surveys.
Yeah, a further good news comes when you look a little bit closer, and it turns out that youth participation has increased by 9%, they say, for 3 to 9-year-olds, and 15% for 10 to 17-year-olds.
Which is really great news.
It is, yeah.
Isn't it? That was in the US, though, but here in the UK, the number of young people riding has actually decreased over the last 5 years.
Mm.
So that same doom and gloom article on cycling industry news said that while stable, participation is down by about 6% compared to pre-pandemic levels.
Do you know what I'm blaming it on, Dan?
No.
Computer games.
Yeah.
Computer games. No, seriously. Bear with. Right. So I found an interesting report which looked at young gamers. Right. I think that's what they're called, and their health post-COVID lockdowns. And in this report, it talked about how 24.7% of people who were physically active before, they call it confinement, lockdown, became inactive during. That's gamers, basically. It's just a hunch, but I think that will have an effect, right? Like, for young people, those, whatever, 2-3 years, if that's when those habits were formed, it's hard to get back to it, isn't it?
It is hard to get back to it, and habits were formed that was the way of socialising with friends at the time.
Exactly,
well,
yeah.
It doesn't really explain, though, the figures that we've just quoted from over in the USA, does it?
No. No, it doesn't really explain that, because you'd think they would probably also game more.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they've got computers over there.
Yeah, I've heard they're big into it. Actually, maybe it's about how the surveys were conducted.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know, maybe it is just a UK thing. Who knows? We should probably have a look to see whether we can find some data from some other countries as well, rather than just two. I did look, actually, by the way, because I was interested. The computer game industry is also going through a post-pandemic slump.
A lot of stuff.
Well, it's once you start... I mean, this is what people are doing instead of cycling. Just Googling stuff. Once you start Googling... So, yeah, the computer game industry is also going through a post-pandemic slump.
Really?
Apparently, they have various challenges as well. Although, participation is not one of them. There are still billions of people
playing computer games. That does not surprise me.
Yeah.
Now, irrespective of whether the facts and figures are correct or not, I think asking ourselves how we are ensuring that young people will still want to get into cycling is a really important question to ask.
Yeah.
We know how good cycling is for health, physical and mental. We know how good it is for the planet. And the chances are, if you're watching this, you know how blooming fun it is too, don't you?
Even for you?
Yes, even for me.
Really?
I will have you know that last Friday, I completed an 80-kilometre gravel ride without a motor in my bike.
No. Yeah. And?
And I enjoyed it.
Did you?
Quite a lot, actually. Especially the coffee stop. That was the highlight. Take a look at this.
No. Is that your actual coffee? There's not like AI trickery?
That is my actual coffee that I was delivered, Si, yes.
Did you get a discount?
Well, I didn't actually pay for them. My mate got the round in. I don't think he got a discount.
Well, what a top day that was then. 80 kilometres of gravel. Was the sun out?
Yeah, most of the time. It was fantastic.
Brilliant. You know what, actually? I think riding off-road is actually the key to this, okay? Much as I love road cycling, but I think for young people, whether it's gravel riding, mountain biking, or track, because technically that's off-road as well, isn't it? For young people, just being away from cars, it's just really important, isn't it?
And a lot of those things are just more fun, aren't they? Like, we started off mountain biking. It's just great fun being off-road, doing jumps, doing tricks, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I think you mature into road cycling, don't you, often?
Yeah.
One does, anyway.
I don't know if that's what I do, but I did get into road cycling. But anyway, I do also think that the cost of living crisis will be making life harder, of course. But the price of bikes... It's probably a question for another day. I was about to delve into it then.
Well, yeah, no, let's save that for another day. We've talked about it before, haven't we? Yeah. Back to the original topic, how much a cause for concern should there be? Like, is it really the doom and gloom the headlines suggest?
Well, I think I'm saying what you're thinking as well. I would say no in the short term, because as you said before, cycling sales, they're not that much different to pre-pandemic levels, and forecasts are looking relatively promising. The declining number of children on bikes in the UK, though, is being a cause of concern over the longer term for very obvious reasons. And that's something that I do think warrants further investigation.
Yes. We think ban carbon fibre and disc brakes in junior racing and below.
Yes, we do. Although I don't think that's going to sort of solve the solution of, I don't know, getting the wider problem of getting kids on bikes for transport or fun or whatever it might be.
No, you're right on that one. But like we said, we definitely should all be asking ourselves this question, shouldn't we?
We should.
Yeah. Kids of the future.
Yes. Right. We're the past.
Yeah. Well, you are. And 3 years makes all the difference. Right, let us know what you think in the declining sales in general, and particularly the lack of young people taking up cycling as a pastime, and potentially.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah, maybe you've got your own hunch as to why that might be. So let us know in the comment section down below.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, and we'll start with a really interesting new study that came out of the University of Bristol here in the UK, which looked into cycling safety on the roads, and specifically how electric public hire scooters appear to reduce the risk of bicycle collisions by a fifth when compared to before they existed.
Which wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't.
It doesn't feel long ago, anyway. The researchers, led by Professor Yoav Ben Shlomo, said that these findings support the safety in numbers hypothesis, which argues that the more people that are getting around by bike or e-scooter...
So-called micro-mobility, Dan.
Oh, that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice jargon.
Thanks,
sorry,
yeah.
That you've just copied from
I'm not a cyclist, I'm a micro-mobility-er.
Can I carry on?
Yes.
Basically means that the more people there are doing that, the safer we are, because car drivers take more care around us.
Yeah. Now, although they did go on to say that they would need further data to confirm what this recent study has found, I mean, it looks really promising, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I was really surprised by this, because I actually thought that there might be fewer cycling accidents because more people were on scooters and therefore having more accidents. But no, they said the amount of accidents were lower across the board.
Sounds like high fives all round.
Absolutely,
side,
yeah.
Really. Just need more people out on the roads then.
Generally, yeah.
Bigger safety in numbers. A bit of racing news now, starting with MSR, which saw a women's version on Saturday for the first time in 20 years. Hopefully this won't be a spoiler for you, as it's now 3 days ago, but we'll start by saying congratulations to Larina Vibes and Mathieu van der Poel.
Yeah, it was a cracking day of racing, wasn't it? As I said at the start, my favourite race day of the year. Never disappoints. The main news in the men's was that there was a successful attack on the Cipressa, the penultimate climb of the race. That's the first time I can remember there being a successful attack on the Cipressa in however many years of racing. The three riders who went clear were the same three who fought it out for the win. So Mathieu van der Poel, Tadej Pogačar and Filippo Ganna.
I must admit, I never thought I'd see it happen in modern cycling. Successful attack from the Cipressa. Pogačar actually broke the Strava KOM on that climb, riding up it at an average speed of 37.6 kilometres per hour, thus breaking the record that many thought was unbeatable, which was set by Gabriela Colombo and Alexander Gonchenkov.
Yes, those two well-known pro cyclists from 1996.
Yeah, tailwind that day apparently as well.
Yes. And for the whole of that decade, I think, wasn't it?
Everywhere.
Yes. Unfortunately for Pogačar, though, that still wasn't enough for him to win the race. He finished third in the three-up sprint of the line.
Which doesn't sound great, does it? But it is better than when he finished fourth in a two-up sprint of the line in the Tour of Flanders in 2022.
Poor old Tadej.
Can't say poor old Tadej.
No, you can't, to be fair. Yeah, all right. Now, perhaps the reason he finished third, I mean, that's all right, was because he actually changed outfits mid-race from black shorts to white shorts halfway through, which must have taken it out of him.
You'd have thought so, yeah.
Yeah, you would,
Must have all been in the name of style, Si.
True.
Which is more than could be said for the great Marianne Vos, who must have wished she'd retired by now, surely, because she's still wearing Visma's horrific Giro Arrowhead helmet, and she still only came second with it.
Yeah, only second. Poor Marianne. I mean, she has seen it all now. Her career has been so long that she's now having to wear this.
We interrupt the GCN show for some hot new tech.
I've got some new tech for you, courtesy of Vision, who are releasing two new wheel sets for 2025. The Vision Metron RS60s, and then the ones that I've got here, which are the Vision Metron RS45s. As the name suggests, these rims are 45mm deep, and the other model is 60mm deep.
The Metron is the fastest and lightest line of Vision wheels, and has been winning World Tour races for many years now. So what's changed for the new version? Well, they're lighter. Both depths have shed 100 grams a pair through employing aero-bladed carbon spokes, making them a super light 1290 grams and 1390 grams respectively. This drop in weight is in spite of them getting wider, now 23 mils internally to improve aerodynamic performance with 28 mm wide tyres and above, with a 9% improvement on the 45 RS and a 6% improvement on the 60 RS. These wheels are also stiffer, and there's a completely redesigned hub set with a new 72 tooth freewheel.
You'll probably want me to do a free hub sound check, won't you? So I'll grab the rear wheel here and do my best, as it's not in a bike. Right. There we go. More tech now, and POC released a new helmet last week, the Citel.
Citel.
Oh, I think I was going to get that wrong.
Yeah, here you go, mate. We have one here. Ta-da! So this is based on the Citel Carbon that Team EF have been using. That is the Citel Carbon, not the slightly polarising Procene Air. So the Citel Carbon is one that makes them look cool.
Okay.
Let's just leave it there. Now, perhaps the biggest headline of many possible headlines about this new helmet is that it has nabbed top spot in the highly regarded Virginia Tech helmet rankings for safety of road helmets. And actually, impressively, Dan, it sits at number 3 out of all bike helmets. That's including the mountain bike ones.
Oh, well, that is impressive.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
There you go. Should take it off now.
Yeah. You can take it off now. Next bit of tech news then is that Tern are launching a new version of their iconic GSD compact cargo bike, the one that Si bangs on about most days, basically.
Yeah. Well, cargo bikes are the way to go, Dan. You cannot fight it. Okay. No. Now, we will have a full video for you on the new bike tomorrow, but in essence, it's a refined version of what I think is a modern classic. One particularly interesting bit of tech, though, to me anyway, it's the first time I've been able to use it, is the top two models come with ABS.
That's like anti-lock brakes, is it?
Anti-lock brakes, yeah. Right. Well, one anti-lock brake. On the front, okay. I was quite glad to see the rear brake does not have ABS, so you can still do skids.
What is ABS on a bike like, then?
Well, obviously you don't notice it 99.9% of the time, but clearly I went and found some gravel to test it out on, because I was interested. Basically, I wanted to see what happened if I rode on gravel and jammed the front brake on a side. Yeah, I did, yeah. And it's really uncanny, because like initially, the front wheel does a skid for a fraction of a second, and then the brakes ease off and you just come to a serene halt.
Wow.
It's like you were a really experienced cyclist was trying their hardest to brake as safely as possible on gravel.
Wow.
Honestly, I was genuinely quite impressed. Like, as in, I wouldn't personally feel like I needed it, but for, like, someone that was...
No good for endos, would it? It's not for hands raised.
So they also say that as well as stopping front wheel skids, it's impossible to go over the handlebars with ABS.
Writing.
I mean, it'd be impossible on a cargo bike anyway, but yeah, there you go.
Sounds interesting. So catch that video tomorrow if you're watching this on Tuesday. The last bit of tech news comes from Core, who've launched a brand new sensor, which they called the Core 2. And I saw that being used by a couple of the World Tour teams at the UAE Tour around a month or so ago. Smaller and lighter than the previous model, and it's also got a passive heat training monitor, so you can use it in a sauna or a hot tub, for example.
Nice for some, isn't it? There are a couple of new integrations imminent as well, we know of. The Zwift heads-up display before April the 3rd, and then the Zwift companion app as well, which is pretty cool, isn't it? And it does make sense, given that I suspect most heat training will be done indoors, won't it?
Well, if you live here or in Canada, that's for sure, yeah.
Well, in Canada, it's impossible to do heat training, I've heard, Dan, because it's so cold there.
They can't do saunas there, can they? Can't get them hot enough.
No, they're just frozen.
You know, I did my longest ever ride on Zwift last week.
Did you?
As well as my gravel ride outdoors.
Crikey, you want to go steady, mate. You might be peaking too soon.
I am quite tired. It was stage 5 of the Zwift Games. It's 45 Ks long with 900 metres of climbing.
Whoa.
And it took me an hour and 32 minutes.
That sounds quite quick. How long did it take the winner of the men's race on Sunday, Jason Osborne?
The world champion? Yeah, not that long.
Did it not?
An hour and 5 minutes it took him.
Whoa.
He didn't go below 500 watts in the last climb. I couldn't believe it.
Serious?
Yeah.
And he's not a big rider either, is he?
No.
As in, well, he's not like a featherweight, but he's like, he's not a Filippo Ganna.
No, he's not as heavy as you.
Honestly, oh my goodness.
I'm slightly annoyed because I've been trying to put weight on relatively unsuccessfully.
Well,
I have put a bit of weight on, but it's sort of plateaued.
Well, all will be revealed. We've got a video coming up soon where, a little spoiler, but I started going to the gym doing weights to try and improve my cycling performance. And that is coming to a conclusion, but I think perhaps one of the side effects might have been that I've been so tired and hungry from it that I've just...
You've also been to a few places that have had a sort of all-you-can-eat buffet recently, haven't you?
Yes, several.
Anyway, sticking with Zwift, that's a nice way to remind everyone that we've got the GCN Club Ride, of course, every Wednesday at 18.30 GMT, or I guess 18.30 BST, after the clocks go forward as of this coming weekend. Everybody's welcome to join, and a reminder as well that it's a non-drop ride, so everybody can ride together no matter what your level. We've also got our own new release to tell you about as well. So the One Day Classics are now moving from Italy to Belgium for the cobbles. So we've relaunched our design from last year, and we've added a new one into the shop as well.
Oh, nice! Make sure you check them out over at shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com. There is plenty of time to get an order in and receive it before the Tour of Flanders. Hopefully we are going to get ours in good time.
Well,
as well,
I hope so, yeah. We should be wearing them this time next week.
Yeah, I'll be repping it.
Tour of Flanders is a week on Sunday, isn't it?
Whoa.
Things roll around so quickly in terms of all the big races at this time of year.
I felt quite bereft, genuinely, on Saturday evening after the Milan San Remos. so much do I look forward to them, and so good were they.
Yeah.
That on Saturday night, I was like, oh, what's next?
They were cracking races.
I know we've got E3. Is it this Friday?
Yep, E3 Friday. There's another race in Belgium, De Panne, I think, on Wednesday and Thursday, men's and women's. Get where we go on Sunday, and Catalonia runs all week as well. And a copy of Bartley. There's a lot going on.
It's not Milan and San Remo, though, is it?
E3 is going to be cracking.
Yeah, all right.
Vanderpool, Pogacar, Van Aert, amongst others, Pedersen.
Oh, so not a bad start list then. So
it's pretty blooming good.
Yeah, all right.
Blooming good. Oh, I forgot to mention actually, we're going to put a QR code. I think it's just down there somewhere. If you scan that, then you know what you do with QR codes then. If you scan the QR code, it will take you to our shop where those new T-shirts are.
What a podcast listener's going to do.
Oh, crikey, yeah.
We're going to...
That is a good point, Si.
Just type in shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com into a web browser.
A web browser, yeah.
A web browser, and then I think you end up in the same place, probably.
You probably do.
Is that like futuristic QR code?
Do that when it's safe to do so, not whilst driving. Oh, one more thing, actually, that I also forgot to mention. So our stainless steel Camelback Podium VSS bottles have been selling like hotcakes recently.
Yeah, they have.
In the shop. You'll find them on the website too. Apologies, by the way, for all the promotions, but your purchases truly do make a big difference as to how much content we can produce. Thank you.
Do indeed, yeah. So, yeah, we do value your support in every way, but that's one good way too.
Next up, /bodge of the week. This time around, we're going to start with... what was that? You do that.
A dad in the life of a cyclist.
Oh, crikey, that was much better than me. I was like, a dadinth? It's all on separate lines, you see. Spotted at the local velodrome, not one of mine, this pen holder slash desk tidy made from the emasculated bottom bracket area of a less fortunate track frame. Made from Columbus aluminium, what more could a pen wish for? Podcast listeners are going to be very confused, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. Interesting choice of words, emasculated. I never thought of that part of the bike as being that part of its anatomy before. But yeah, so this is basically the bottom bracket and the end of a down tube, the end of a seat tube, and the end of a pair of chainstays, which makes an interesting desk tidy. So I quite like that.
I like it as well, yeah.
I like that bit of innovation. And to be fair, that's like... It's quite a nice looking bottom bracket cluster. I've never really thought about. I've never said that phrase before in my life. But anyway,
limited pen storage, I would say.
Yeah.
In an old frame set.
It wasn't a euphemism, by the way. Just to clarify. Okay. I genuinely, for podcast listeners, I am actually looking at a bottom bracket cluster. So what were we saying? Hack for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Nice one. The next one comes from Dom Len. Floor pumps are beautiful. Crikey, it's someone else as nerdy as me. But I've always wondered why we cyclists don't use battery-powered inflators more often. I've got a Ryobi one, but the screw-on car valve head is a pain, so I hacked it. I cut the hose and added standard pneumatic quick couplings, like the ones from air compressors. Now I can switch pump heads easily, change hose lengths, and the whole setup is way more flexible. Game changer.
Wow.
That's cool, isn't it?
That's really cool, yeah.
I wouldn't say track pumps are attractive, but I mean, that's kind of what I use, mainly because they're nice and quiet compared to a...
Also, it doesn't take long to pump a tyre up, does it?
No, it doesn't. Although, I've got to say, as I was faffing around early Sunday morning with a blocked Presta valve, as often happens with tubeless, and I was thinking, like I'm really over Presta valves and Schrader valves.
Right.
They're both crap, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, when you think about how good... like tech has got in so many areas, and then you think about how we pump up our tyres, they are crap.
Well, given that Schrader valves are used on all car tyres still.
I mean, they are crap, aren't they?
Well, I haven't got a better idea.
Well, have you ever thought about how to invent a new valve? What I mean is that surely someone somewhere, and I know Schwalbe have tried, whether that catches on, I don't know.
Hmm.
It's just rubbish. I'm not sure. The amount of times when you press it on and it doesn't, it's like...
Have you done a lot of tyre inflation recently?
I mean, like, it's, yeah, it's byproducts of running tubeless, isn't it?
This weight is on the triceps.
Nearly dropped an F-bomb in your direction then. right, we send hack for that one.
I'm going to hack, definitely. Yeah,
yeah, cool. All right.
Andra Irvin. I can do that. I can't even say Irvin. The large rubber bands that new Pirelli tyres come pre-packaged with are just about the perfect size to keep your spare tubes in check, keeping everything neat, tidy, and bike-related.
Oh, I like that.
They do look good, don't they?
That is very cool. I'm just wondering whether we've actually got one here, though. There you go. Just in case you're wondering what we're talking about.
Is this... Oh, Jesus.
Don't know what that was. There you go, look. How cool is that? I'd never thought about that before.
That's cool, isn't it?
Amazing. I just thought it was a wristband.
Well, it does kind of look like a wristband, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But as you can see from Andrew's photo, it doubles up very nicely as a way to keep your inner tube stored very neatly. You know I'm a fan of neat storage, so
yeah.
That's a hack from me.
That looks like your underpants drawer, doesn't it?
It does.
Which, incidentally, can also be neatened up with a Pirelli band, can't it?
Well, I'm not sure it can.
Right then, so hack for that one. And yeah. Then Ed Barker sent this one in. My partner came to stay for the weekend and we had a chilly ride planned, but she forgot her overshoes. No problem, I grabbed an old pair of football socks, pulled them over her cycling shoes and cut out holes for the cleats. Surprisingly, they held up for the entire 50k ride and kept her toes nice and toasty. Actually, that doesn't, now I've looked at the photo, that doesn't look as bad as I thought it was going to. They are white football socks. So that's quite cool. It's kind of like a Matthew Vanderpool-esque look.
Well, this was something that pretty much all cyclists did back in the day, wasn't it? Just use a normal pair of socks over your cycling shoes for those days that weren't like midwinter, super cold. But there was a fashion statement, I seem to remember, at some point.
I raced a mountain bike World Cup in Madrid in 2006 with a pair of white socks over my mountain bike shoes. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I was a style icon in 2006, but I did it for fashion reasons.
I mean, I did something similar, not at a World Cup, but I definitely had standard socks over my cycling shoes at a point because I thought it was stylish.
Yeah.
Slightly embarrassing looking back on it now.
It'll come back, mate. It'll come back. I think that's a hack then as well, isn't it?
Can we have four hacks in one show?
Absolutely, mate.
All right, go on then.
Yeah.
Well done, Ed. Well done all of the people that submitted their hacks and bodges this week. Four hacks. If you want to get involved in this part of the show, all you need to do is go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. We have here one of those stainless steel ones, just for illustration. This is what we were talking about just a few moments ago. All you got to do to win aforementioned bottle is put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo we'll give you in just 1 second. So the results from last week,
The results from last week. This was the picture. This is Paul Magnier of Soudal Quickstep and France beneath his specialised bike at Tirreno Adriatico. Winner this week is Buster Brown 2905. You put, Paul Magnier demonstrates the risks of going flat out.
Oh, I see what he's done there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were quite a few talking about being so aero. Incredibly aero.
Nice, yeah.
Well done to you, Buster. Get in contact on Facebook. Send us your address and we'll send out the Camelback water bottle. This week's picture comes from the end of Milan San Remo. This is Filippo Ganna taking his glove off. I will get you started. This is me being Filippo Ganna. I think I might have mitten off more than I can chew.
Ah, mate. Nicely done, right? Well, if you think you can beat Dan's caption, then yeah, get involved in the comment section down below. We will pick a winner next week.
What a ride by Filippo Ganna as well. I mean, just to be close to them to begin with, but then the fact that he had to chase for most of the last 20Ks of the race,
these
two Galacticos.
I saw a quote that said they've taken years off his life.
Blimey.
To be fair, though, like, I mean, if you're going to be possibly the strongest rider in the world in terms of absolute wattage, like, you know, you could probably do the end of Milan San Remo faster than just about anyone, can't you? Like,
well, he did. I was looking at the Strava earlier. So there's a segment, isn't there, that starts at the foot of the Cipressa and goes all the way through to the finish line on the Via Roma. And he went, I think, about 40 seconds quicker than anybody else who's ever uploaded their Strava file.
Really?
For some reason, although Pogacar uploaded the file to Strava, it didn't seem to have that segment on his. And Van der Poel just
maybe he took a shortcut.
Yeah, that could explain a few things.
Yeah, might.
Also, just a quick reminder that you can catch a full season of bike racing live on Discovery Plus and Max. And as we said earlier, there is a lot of racing to feast your eyes on over the next few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to run through a few of our favourite comments now before we tell you what's coming up on the channel this week. And there's a lot coming up on the channel this week.
Yeah, there is, actually.
Underneath last week's show, where Connor and I were discussing why we think cycling is amongst the most brutal sports in the world, the Chosen Path podcast wrote in to say, my hard story. Hit and run victim on a training ride 4 hours before leaving for Unbound this past May.
Oh.
I died for 2 minutes. No heart rate or respiratory rate, thanks to Whoop for tracking.
No.
Woke up to a broken back, broken neck, and 11 other broken bones. 243 days later, rolled off the start at the dirty South Roubaix. Mentally, that was the hardest thing, PTSD and all. Still PR'd it, though. Wow.
What's PR mean?
Personal record.
There you go. That's impressive. I mean, that's all, like, that's horrific, but also impressive at the same time. Fair play. That is, yeah. Good effort.
Yeah.
Very good effort. WSPMJW said, the most challenging component of cycling is the mental part. Increasing distance and then completing the distance of a race or event requires strong mental fitness. Yeah, I'd agree with that, actually.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well.
Yeah.
Just going back to the username, I'm always slightly worried when there's a bunch of letters put together that it's some sort of acronym. Because quite a few times we read them out on the show and I read the comments, like, Dan inside don't even know what that means. Feel increasingly old. Hopefully that wasn't one of them. Oh, well, that's a good segue. The next one comes for too old for this. My biggest accomplishment in cycling has been the loss of 36 kilograms in under 4 years.
Let me know how you've done that.
and all since I discovered GCN. Just watch a few.
Oh, there we go.
I've now bike packed for 3 weeks in France and been blown off my road bike in autumnal Lanzarote. Cycling has changed my life and I just love it. Shut up legs, neck, back, knees, etc. It's the self versus self battle that's so addictive. Thanks, GCN. Genuinely, thank you. What a lovely comment.
That's so cool. That is so, so cool. And yes, I completely agree. The self versus self battle is like, it's brilliant, isn't it? Mm. Keeps us coming back for more. Right then, underneath Connor's video about why he will always commute by bike, Daniel Robinson said one aspect of commuting by bike is the mental part, which I think is maybe the most important. I commute 15 miles each way, which gives me an hour to just think without real distraction. I don't use earphones and just soak in my surroundings. I can't tell you how many work or personal issues I've resolved on the way home and always end up in a better headspace at the end of the ride. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
It is, indeed. Rickett Mickett. But I'm commuting measly 3Ks by bike twice per day throughout the year, no matter the weather. It's not a lot, but still I cycled 120Ks per month more than somebody that's commuting by car. And that just shows. It activates me in the mornings, it calms me in the afternoons, it gets the body moving and breathing.
Yeah. I tell you what, 3K commute sounds about perfect, actually, on a bike.
Does, doesn't it?
As in, like, I like my 20K commute, but there are days when I wish it was 3.
Yeah.
That's wicked.
Trouble is, turning 3 into 20 takes a much bigger mental strength, doesn't it?
It does, but then you could also just go, like, with the time that you would save in your 3K commute, you could just go for a bike ride.
True.
Couldn't you? Potentially. And then underneath Dan's Journey Back to Cycling episode 2, where Dan gets his first bike fit in quite a number of years, Warhammer WH said, great to see Dan taking his fitness journey so seriously. Keep it up. We want to see more in videos. And I don't think you can let up after your 350-kilometre ride this June.
Oh.
Yes, I'd agree with that. Dan's going to keep going.
I'll just call it quits then.
Retirement version 3.
Yeah, jobs are good. 350Ks in the bank. Underneath the Godfathers of FTP, which was Connor interviewing Hunter Allen and Andy Coggan, who came up with the whole concept of FTP many, many years ago. Quacker944, great job, Connor. Bringing these guys into your experience has been a revelation. While Sam DCFC put excellent insights, I love the ticket to enter the race analogy. It's very relatable to racing categories, in my opinion, and changes of a good result in, and chances of a good result, I say, in my experience. Thank
you. That was a good one. That was basically, they were saying that your FTP, having a high enough FTP gives you a ticket to race, but if you want to win the race, then you need other bits on top. Mm. So your anaerobic capacity, basically, and stuff like that, or your sprint. It was very interesting to hear them. I sort of feel like they're, I don't know, it's almost like they're existing outside of a lot of kind of coaching ethos at the moment. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, this, like, they obviously, their seminal work is 19 years ago now. And I sort of feel like it'd be interesting to put them in a room with, like, Christophe de Cable, for example, and see what kind of similarities or differences there were between the two.
It would be cool to get a debate like that. Write it down. Get that going. Okay, on to what we've got coming up on the channel this week. We haven't got that yet, unfortunately. We will do it at some point soon because Si has noted it down. So on Wednesday, the video that we talked about earlier, which is Si looking at the brand new Turn E cargo bike. He's very excited about it. You should be too.
Yeah.
On Thursday...
Did my 20K commute on it this morning, mate.
You did, yes.
Yeah.
We've heard all about it. Well, I have. Viewers haven't yet. On Thursday, do you need to have higher handlebars?
Yeah, this is an interesting one, this one, isn't it? It's a trend that's running through the World Tour Peloton at the moment. It's one that Connor jumped on board a few years ago when he stopped trying to go fast. But actually, there's a lot to be said for it, I think, isn't there? Then on Friday, there is a top secret new superbike coming out. One that Ollie has been beavering away behind the scenes for I don't want to say a year now.
Not far off. Filming stuff. Started at the tour last year, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So that's super cool. And then over on GCN Tech, actually, on Saturday, there is a bit of a super nerd special. And then on Sunday, sorry, still going, all being well, it'll be episode 2 of Carspiracy. So this is another look at our car-centric culture. And again, honestly, my mind's been blown there as well, actually. Some of the stuff that I've been finding out and researching, and you realise how much... how much of what we do and what we know to be true and what we just think is the way things are is just absolute rubbish and based on complete and utter fallacy. So anyway, stay tuned for that one, which, like I say, all being hit well.
So there's a lot of research on that and therefore a lot of filming with it. So as we said, we hope that'll be ready for Sunday. But if it's not, it's because we want to do a good job of the edit.
Yeah, if it's not, blame the fact that I got a bit carried away.
Yeah. Also, stay tuned over on GCN Tech, not just for Saturday's video, but for some videos that should be coming out from the Taipei Bike Show, because that's where Ollie's headed out to this week.
That's right, yeah. So, hot new tech from the Taipei Bike Show. It's always an absolute banger, that one. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what he uncovers.
Great stuff. Right, brings us to the end of GCN Show episode 640 or something.
I don't know what it is.
What an ending.
Yeah, well done, mate. Leave on a high.